I'd like to read Psalm 148, hear God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever, and He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heavens, and He has lifted up a horn for His people, praise for all His godly ones, even the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word, and now as we have this short opportunity to take a look into it, we pray that You be pleased to give us Your grace and blessing. And we pray, Father, that we might indeed give You the praise that You are due through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Perhaps some of you have seen the recent advertisements of the American Humanist Association. One of them is quite simple, and it's been displayed on billboards in various locations. Don't believe in God. Another one simply asks the question, why believe in God? And then in smaller font on the same advertisement, this statement, just be good for goodness' sake. Well, that's the perspective of the National Humanist Association, which runs cross-grain, of course, to the Bible. And it is antithetical, that position is antithetical to the Bible, and it is antithetical to the psalm which is before us this morning, Psalm 148, because Psalm 148 actually gives us not only an exhortation to praise the Lord, but also gives us the rationale for giving praise to the Lord. That is, you are to praise the Lord and join in all the hosts of heaven and earth in praising the Lord, because He created you and He sustains you and He gives you strength. And that's really the point that I want you to get this morning from Psalm 148, that you are to join the hosts of heaven and earth to give praise to God because He created you and sustains you and gives you strength. As you look at the psalm, you'll notice that there are two divisions in the beginning of the psalm. Verse 1, or at least the latter part of verse 1, has these words, praise the Lord from the heavens. And then if you look at verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. And so, heaven and earth are enjoined to give praise to God. And not only heaven and earth, but within heaven and earth, the inanimate, that which does not have the breath of life, is enjoined to give praise to God. And also, the animate, that which does have the breath of life, is enjoined to give praise to God. Look, for example, first of all, at verses 3 and 4. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Well, certainly, all of the heavens and all that the heavens contain do give praise to God. The heavens do declare the glory of God and the firmament His handiwork. But the psalm focuses on the sun and the moon. That fiery ball, 93 million miles distant from Earth. That fiery ball which sheds its light and its heat appropriately at the right degrees upon the earth so that life may be sustained. And the moon, which when full casts its glow upon the earth in the evening hours by reflecting the light from the sun. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise Him. Verse 3 goes on to say, all stars of light. The sun being one of those smaller stars in our galaxy whirling through the universe. A smaller star. And when you look on a clear night into the evening sky and are able to see that band of stars that we call the Milky Way, looking as it were through the saucer of our galaxy toward the edge so that all of those stars seem to be equally distant from us, that band of stars, glorious in the heavens. Give praise to God, sun and moon and stars of light. And perhaps you've seen some of those NASA photographs peering further in the distance beyond our own galaxy, where you see those little saucer-shaped lights, which are galaxies in and of themselves, containing hundreds of thousands and myriads of stars. And they bring glory to God, and the psalmist calls them too to give praise to Him. Praise Him, highest heavens. You remember the Apostle Paul spoke about being caught up into the third heaven, that which is above the stars. And then there is that canopy over the earth that the Bible calls the firmament, in which the stars are hung. That's how we see it, at least from our vantage point. And then the lower heavens, as it were, the atmosphere which envelops this world. The highest heavens and the lowest of the heavens are to give praise to God. Verse 4 says, praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Probably the psalmist has in mind here the clouds that are floating in the upper atmosphere and shed their moisture in the earth to give that rain which we often enjoy. And so the heavens, the inanimate in the heavens, are to give praise to God. And then if you look down in verse 7 again, praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deep, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, the lightning that cracks and crackles and crashes in the storm, indicating the power of God and the snow and the clouds and the stormy wind, those winds of the hurricane that have come and we've seen in the Gulf, not blowing lightly, but with gale force, hurricane force, 100 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour, 140 miles an hour, a great velocity ripping and tearing everything in its path. The power of God on display. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Those mountains, as you travel west on I-70 or on I-80, and you approach those Colorado Rockies, and the majesty of those mountains in the distance. It seems as though you could reach out and touch them, and yet they are far distant, and coming closer, you have a greater vantage point, and you see the majesty of those 14,000 foot peaks, indicating again the greatness of our God. The fruit trees and all cedars. A good friend of many of us, close to Newcastle, has in his yard, in the forested area behind his house, a tree that he suspects is over 200 years old, and it took three of us like this to hug this particular tree. Again, he suspects this tree beginning to flourish during the American Revolution, a tree of great age, and our God is one who is eternal and has placed all of these things in their respective locations. These are the inanimate of the universe, called to give praise to God, but also the psalmist in heaven and in earth calls that which is animate to give praise to God. Look again at the beginning of the psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all angels. Those glorious spiritual beings gathered around the throne of God, giving Him praise day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God omnipotent. Yes, those divine beings, great in glory, yet called themselves to give praise to one who is exalted above them in glory and in honor, giving glory to God Himself. Those angels who are ministering spirits sent to give aid to the likes of you and me, those of us who are called by God to inherit eternal life, those ministering spirits who are called to render service to the likes of you and me, so that we will not stumble over the gospel and stumble over Jesus Christ. Those ministering spirits are called to give praise and honor and glory to God. In the highest of the heavens, they are called to give this glory. And then you notice in the second part of the psalm, once again, in verses 10 and following, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Yes, the beasts of the field. Those who were created by God, the beasts of the field, oh, yes, the rabbits and the squirrels. And once in a while by our house, are we, unlike you, we smell that skunk that goes by, the beasts of the field, and we have that groundhog in our backyard. Now, those little creatures, but they are not the only ones, the larger animals also. the reindeer and the caribou and animals of such character and stoutness as those big animals. And also the creeping things. Oh yes, those snakes and those spiders. And some of you children like to pull up those rocks and look underneath those rocks at those little creepy crawlers that are present there, called to give praise to God. And the winged fowl of every size and character, from the little sparrow that flirts in your backyard, and the robin, and the blue jay, and the cardinal, as they build their nests, and you can see them from your kitchen window, and also the larger birds, the eagle, and such animals that cruise at great altitudes, give praise to God. But not only these creatures, but the psalm goes on, kings of the earth and all peoples. Every category of human being is called by God to give praise. The kings of the earth. Would it be that the kings of the earth would understand that they are put in their positions by God Himself, and that they are ministers of God, and that they are to execute His designs and His desires in the earth? Kings of the earth are to give praise to Him, and presidents and prime ministers are to do so, and all the people in their domains are to give praise to God. Princes and judges of the earth. Oh yes, those judges about whom we complain often in our own society and in our own corners of the world, we complain sometimes about their judgments. And they ought to praise God. The psalmist calls upon them to give honor to God and to render their judgments, understanding that they are servants of the God Most High, both young men and maidens. All of you young people, male and female, old men, some of you here in this congregation, I'll count myself among that number, old men and children, you children need to learn to praise the Lord, and learn the psalms as we sing them, and raise your voices to God in praise. I notice in the office here that the catechism is being taught. I thank the Lord for that. And you young children need to learn the good things of God taught in the catechism to you, to give praise to God. And so heaven and earth, animate and inanimate, are to give praise to God. And why is this the case? The psalmist does not leave us hanging in this regard. Look, if you would, at verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. They were created. All the hosts of heaven, animate and inanimate. All the hosts of earth, animate and inanimate. God called them into being by the word of His power. He is the one, after He created this world, by the word of His power, called the trees and the grass and the flowers to spring forth from the earth. And He is the one, by the word of His power, simply spoke, and He called forth from the earth, as it were, every beast of the field and creeping thing on the face of the earth. And He is the one who took the dust from the earth in His hand and formed out of that dust a man, Adam. And he breathed into that man he created the breath of life. And he took out of the body a rib from Adam and fashioned that rib into a woman. And so it was that humanity was brought into being by the great God of all. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, stars of light. Praise Him, kings of the earth and all peoples. Why? Because He created all of them. And as if that were not enough, that praise is to come from our hearts and trip across our lips because He is the exalted Creator. Not simply the Creator, but the exalted Creator. Look down, if you would, at verse 13 in Psalm 148. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted, and His glory is above earth and heaven. His name alone is to be exalted. Oh, how is it that men and women puff up themselves? And perhaps you have been in that circumstance where you have felt, oh yes, I am exalted. I am in a good position. And maybe you and I ought to remember the great God of heaven who is exalted above all. He is lifted up, the word means above all. Verse 13 again, for His name alone is exalted or lifted up. His glory is above earth and heaven. His glory, the New American Standard Version reads. The other versions read, I think, His majesty. His majesty is above all. And that word majesty or glory has as part of its meaning weight or weightiness. Of course, gold is a heavy metal, is it not? A metal that has some substance and weight, and we consider it valuable because this is the case. And we may ask, I may ask you, who is it that carries the weight in your life? Who is it that you consider all glorious? Is it God? Is it the Lord above who carries the weight in your life? Or perhaps you attempt at times to throw your weight around. I've done that. But in the end, who is it that has full authority to throw His weight around? Is it not the Creator of all? The one who set this world spinning in its orbit around the sun and place the likes of you and me in this world. He alone has the authority to truly throw His weight around. He is the Creator, exalted over all. And not only so, is heaven and earth to give the great God of heaven praise because He creates all. He created you and me. But He sustains all. Look at verse 6 in Psalm 148. He has also established them. That is, all that He created. All the things that He created. He has also established them forever and ever. And He has made a decree which will not pass away. You notice that little word decree in verse 6. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. You see, He is the all-glorious One. And the Catechism then asks the question, how does God execute His decrees? And listen to the answer. God executeth His decrees in His works of creation and providence. Providence. And I notice in the classroom that question, what is God's providence? And what is the answer? Who would like to give it? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all of His creatures. And how does it go? All of His creatures and all of their actions. His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all of His creatures and all of His actions. You see, the great God of all is not that deistic God in whom some believe, who is, they think, the great architect of heaven, the clockmaker, as it were, who winds up creation and then lets it go. But He is the one who preserves and governs all of His creatures and all of their actions. He is preserving you and me, and it doesn't matter where we are in this world, whether we are here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or whether we find ourselves in Afghanistan or Iraq, God is present and preserving all of His creatures and all of their actions. Does that not give you some confidence in the God of heaven and give you a reason to praise Him? And I think, well, that text in Romans, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. That's not just a text you put on a plaque and hang on your wall and look at once in a while. That's the truth of God, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. And do you know what that means, friends? That every molecule in the universe, every subatomic particle in the universe is working together for your good. That God is working everything in this universe together for the benefit of people like you and me. That nothing takes place in this universe except that God's hand is present working it out for your good. I thank God that that's the case. And I thank God that when you drive from your home across the parkway, across the bridge, through the tunnel, up the hill to this church building, every step, every revolution of the tires on your car are guided ultimately by the hand of God to bring you to your appointed destination. God's hand, friends, is preserving and governing all of His creatures and all of their actions. We're sometimes asked the question, how is it that the sovereign God of the universe could be in absolute control of all things and at the same time people like you and me could make a multitude of decisions each day and do so freely. Isn't that freedom and isn't that sovereignty ultimately contradictory? And according to the Bible, it is not. It is not. And my simple answer to that seeming dilemma is a question. You believe that God is almighty and can do all things, do you not? Then, is it not possible for the Almighty to be in absolute control of all things and at the same time create individuals who freely make decisions? Is it not possible for God, who is almighty, to do that very thing? I say, yes, it is, because He is the one who governs all of His creatures and all of their actions. And God is worthy of praise in heaven and on earth, not only because He created all things and sustains all things, but also because He is the one ultimately that gives you the strength that you have. Look at our psalm again, verse 14. And He has lifted up a horn for His people, praise for His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. He has lifted up a horn for His people. In the poetic literature, the horn is a symbol of power and strength. And what has God done? He has given power and strength to His people, to the likes of you and me. And what is the source of this power? Yes, God. But look again at verse 14. And He has lifted up a horn for His people, praise, praise for all His godly ones. In other words, the God of heaven coming to you and me, transforming you and me by giving us new hearts and putting His law within our hearts, puts praise upon your lips, praise for the great God of heaven. And it is in the end the joy of the Lord, the praise of the Lord, which is your strength. And so it is, verse 14 tells us, and He has lifted up a horn for His people, praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Why? Why does He give you strength? Because He has seen fit, friends, in Jesus Christ to draw you near to Himself by Jesus Christ so that He would have a people who would give Him glory and praise and honor. That was His desire, and that was the deep motive within His own heart, to have a people which would give Him praise forever and ever and ever. Verse 14 again, and He has lifted up a horn for His people, praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. And of course, how is it that God draws near to you? Again, it is in Jesus Christ, is it not? Emmanuel, who is God with us. And I would submit to you that it is the Lord Jesus Christ about whom the psalm speaks. Look at the psalm again, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. Verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And verse 14 at the very end of the psalm. Praise the Lord. This is none other than Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And is that not the confession that you make, that Paul encourages you to make in Romans chapter 10, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when you make that confession that Jesus is Lord, you are not saying simply that he is a great being, that he is someone to whom reverence ought to be paid. No, it is much more than that. You are confessing that he is God incarnate. You are confessing that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. You are confessing that the God of heaven has chosen to make himself known in this world by way of the second person becoming a man and taking on human form just like us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ to whom you are to give praise. And is he not, friends, the Creator? John tells us plainly, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through him. He is the Creator, and he is the one who sustains this Jesus Christ. Paul confesses all things hold together through him, that is, through Jesus Christ. And he is the one who strengthens. The Apostle Paul also makes this confession: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, he is the one who gives strength to face every contingency of life. And you ought to therefore give praise to Jesus Christ along with the hosts of heaven and the hosts of earth, because he is the one who created you. He is the one who sustains you. He is the one who strengthens you. Are you not amazed at this National Humanist Association? Don't believe in God? And the question, why believe in God? Those statements in and of themselves presuppose the existence of God. And these humanists are caught on the horns of a dilemma. They are playing the fool The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they are playing the fool. And one day, they will understand the foolish position they are taking. And then this statement also, just be good for goodness' sake. As though goodness in and of itself stood as an ultimate standard of some sort. But where are these ultimates derived? Jesus Christ said, when challenged, why do you call me good? There is none good but God alone. And so if you are going to be good, ultimately, you must be God-like. You must be conformed to His image. And you cannot exclude God. Ultimately, you must give Him praise. And you are called by way of Psalm 148 this morning to join the hosts of heaven and the hosts of earth in the praise of Jesus Christ, because He created you and He sustains you and He gives you strength. Let's pray together. Father, may we hear the message of this simple psalm and give you the honor and the praise you alone are due. Grant that we might, from the heart, join the hosts of heaven and of earth in giving Jesus Christ the praise He is due because of His creating us and sustaining us and strengthening us in this life in which we find ourselves. Bless us to this end, we do pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who alone is exalted on high, and who alone is worthy of all of our praise. Hear us in His name, we do ask. Amen.